From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan is dead at the age of 94. The wife of the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, for more than five decades until his death in 2004, she served as First Lady from 1981 to 1989. After leaving office, Mr. Reagan retired a few years later from public life, making a statement that he suffered from Alzheimer's disease. The executive director of the Ronald Reagan Foundation, John Heibusch, spoke today about her devotion during those final years before his death.
The nation owes her somewhat of a debt of gratitude for being there for him and for being his strong right arm, and also for being the one that took care of him at his bedside for 10 years when he had to succumb to Alzheimer's. That was a really, really difficult assignment, but something she took on with great love and great compassion.
Mrs. Reagan will be buried next to her husband at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Benin is counting votes after today's presidential election for a successor to President Tuma Boni Yayi, who is stepping down after two terms, leaving 33 candidates to compete for power in the West African country. Yayi is leaving office after the legally mandated two terms, reinforcing Benin's reputation as a model of democracy on the troubled continent, where many leaders revise their country's constitution while in office in order to remain in power. Prominent Sudanese politician Hassan al-Turabi was buried today in a cemetery east of the capital Khartoum after a funeral attended by thousands. Turabi died Saturday of a heart attack at the age of 84. He played a major role in the 1989 coup that brought President Omar al-Bashir to power before becoming foes later on. This is VOA News. A suicide attack in the Iraqi city of Hilla today killed at least 47 people and wounded more than 40 others. Islamic State claimed responsibility for the bombing. A police official says the attacker drove an explosives-filled fuel truck into a security checkpoint about 115 kilometers south of Baghdad. The checkpoint was filled with cars backed up waiting for entrance into the city. In U.S. politics, the nominating contest for Republicans may be winding down to a two-man race between businessman Donald Trump and Senator Ted Cruz. On Saturday, Cruz won two states' primaries in Maine and in Kansas, with frontrunner Donald Trump on top in Kentucky and Louisiana. Puerto Rico this evening confirmed that Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, has won that contest in their state primary. Trump is still out in front and making big claims about a possible face-off in the general election.
I've won many polls, as you know, against Hillary Clinton directly, and I'm the only one that's going to beat her. The only one, remember that. And I am the one person, trust me, that she does not want to run against.
Republican leadership in the past week, however, has pleaded with party rank and file not to support Trump in the primaries in order to stop him from gaining the nomination and control thereby of the party, which may have benefited Cruz this weekend.
What we're seeing here in Idaho is really what we're seeing all across the country, which is that Republicans are coming together. They're uniting behind our campaign. The 65% of Republicans who recognize Donald Trump is not the best candidate to go head-to-head with Hillary Clinton, that the odds are too high, he loses. We lose the Supreme Court for a generation. We lose the Bill of Rights. We lose the Senate.
Again, the field still has four candidates, Trump and Cruz, as well as Ohio Governor John Kasich, and Florida Senator Marco Rubio. A leading Turkish newspaper that was staunchly opposed to the country's president has printed its first edition since being seized by authorities on Saturday. And the publication now features a distinctly pro-government slant. In the Sunday edition of Zaman, Turkey's largest circulation daily, there was a lead article about what it called the historical excitement over a nearly completed bridge project. The front page also featured a photograph of a smiling President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. There was little coverage in the paper of the previous day's unrest in Istanbul, where police sprayed tear gas and fired rubber bullets at protesters gathered outside Zaman's offices chanting, "Free media cannot be silenced." Slovakia's leftist ruling party begins negotiations today with smaller political parties in an attempt to form a coalition government after losing its parliamentary majority in Saturday's elections. With nearly all votes counted, Prime Minister Robert Fico's Smer Social Democracy Party won only 30%. I'm Marty Johnson.
That's the latest world news from VOA.